I'll be back right after these messages. Now keep listening to Ghostly Talk, or I'll send you to the chopper right back where you came from, dude.
Cyber Tribe. That was the band you just heard. I just heard James screaming. That's
well,
actually,
thank
you know what that
Cyber Tribe.
You know what that bump right there was, though, Doug?
That
sounds familiar,
MFTS?
Don't it? That sounds like my old band, yeah.
That's MFTS. Awesome.
I figured, you know, when we're building that playlist and all this fun stuff, I'm like, hey, you know, it's my stuff. I might as well be able to use it. So I decided to throw it in there. Hi to my buddies from my old buddies from MFPS, our no longer going band. You just heard the song we played. That was from a band called Cyber Tribe. They're here. They're from there. They were from here in Detroit, I believe. I think they're still going, doing their thing. Sean's a guy I've actually talked to before, and he said he'd love to have his music on Ghostly Talk, because he loves Ghostly Talk. So thanks, Sean. We really appreciate that. We are still on the line with Mr. Mark Macy from worlditc.org, and I have to say again, thank you, Mark, for coming on again. You always enlighten us by your presence.
My head exploded during that break.
Why is that?
So I had to go and pick up all the pieces and put it back together as best I can, like Humpty Dumpty, and I'm only missing an ear.
Well, very good. I mean, I felt that. That's why I said let's go to break, because I thought you were just going to melt down right in the middle of the broadcast. So I said, let's just take a quick break here. Mark,
did you hear me during that last half hour? I actually had a thought, and I didn't know how to put it into words.
Yeah, it don't happen very often. You're Doug from Ghostly Talking. You're never spared for words. I know that for a fact.
It's because of this topic. It's because ITC is so important. It's because it's because this is so exciting to me as well.
Oh yeah, Mark, you still with us, man?
Yes. Oh yeah.
We talked about in the last half hour. You know what? That's the thing, is there's so many gray areas here too with this stuff. You know, we were talking about that also, about, you know, skeptics and stuff like that, Mark. You know, what we do here on Ghostly Talk, we present the information. That's all we do here. We present the information, and we let the listener, you listening to this show right now, decide how you want to feel about it. It's our job to get it out there, though. That's what's the most important. But in respect to the skeptics, that's the problem I think there is, and I don't think there's ever going to be any resolution to this, Mark. Like we said before, you know, scientifically, and you said this was the reason that was more or less disbanded, is because you had one half of the group saying, look, man, we got to keep pushing forward. We're making progress here. And then the other half said, look, we need to hold off for a second and find a way where we can prove this in the lab setting, where we can repeat it over and over again, right?
Right.
So the thing with that is that, we're studying this stuff, and we know as paranormal researchers too, we've learned this, that over time, when you have a discovery, when you have a breakthrough or whatever you want to call it, it's not something that's going to be, you're going to be able to repeat over and over again. I've never come in contact with with an EVP or a photo or something like that, where someone was able to take the same exact photo twice in a row. It just don't happen. That's the bottom line of this stuff.
Well, I though have been jealous of, and that's because I'm a human, right? I'm a human.
Yeah.
I've been jealous of photos and EVPs that people have gotten, but I've enjoyed my own successes as well. So I've had a balanced, I guess, career. It's not a career, but you know, I've had a balanced time of it. But at the same time, I've experienced those pangs where I wish I was in the right place at the right time, you know, because I would have liked to have experienced that. I would have liked to have taken that photo, or I would have liked to have captured that EVP. And so I know where people are coming from,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they get that and they go, or if they're the ones who got it, this is mine, I'm now king of the hill for a little while.
Well, that's part of the problem, though, Mark. And that's what I wanted to ask you too, Mark. Do you find that in the same arena also with ITC? Do you find that there are some researchers out there that are this term we call glory seekers? Do you find those people out there?
Yeah, I think that was another aspect of the blow up of our group. I think there are people, few individuals like that in the group. That's human nature, also. You know, the doubters and the people who think, why has it happened to them? How come it's not happening to me? I'm a better person than they are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They got so many flaws. How come it's happening to them, you know? So that's human nature, to judge other people and wonder why the great things aren't happening to us. So it's always best to learn how to appreciate what we have, you know? And that's, I think, what once you do that, you kind of break down all the tensions that kind of present a barrier between you and the higher levels on the other side, and they can access you a little more easily, I think, when you break down those barriers of judgment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, I don't know.
I mean, it does make a lot of sense, because it is, jealousy is probably one of the strongest senses, in my opinion. Jealousy has so many different faces when you think about it. You can be jealous of so many things. And we found, and I never thought in my entire life that I would find people, and Doug's right, too, where you'd be jealous of someone for getting that really cool photo or getting that really cool EVP or whatever of some sorts. Jealousy has so many different faces, and it can inhibit your senses, too, from what I've seen. There is that term, blind with jealousy.
Yeah.
And it does blind you in a lot of ways. I've seen that happen. My thing,
I
though...
Found that,
go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
I was just thinking, you made me think of something. When I was within it for five or six years, I'd constantly have to check myself against those... Like, there were times I'd be doubting. I said, this is just too amazing. That particular contact's got to be fake. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think about it, and then I think, no, that's real. I keep having to go back and replay in my mind the evidence that I've seen and the people I've talked to kind of reinforce my credulity about all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I sometimes feel envious about the people I work with who are getting better contacts than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I constantly have to check myself on that, too. You know, so we're being human. We have to constantly check ourselves, unless we happen to be some Eastern mystic who's gotten beyond all that. But I've never met anybody like that. I think being human, we just have to kind of recognize those qualities we have and kind of check them as we go. And
yeah, and appreciate the qualities that you do have yourself, it seems. I know myself, I can't say that. I mean, I've always been like, wow, that's a really cool photo you got there. That's an amazing photo, man. You know, what's your secret? more in a joking manner, like, what's your trick, man? How'd you pull that off? But I've never, I know there's people out there like this that literally get angry. That's not real. I mean, and that's part of the problem right there, I think, too, is that you have someone that may be jealous in a certain way. So in order to verify or validate that jealousy, they're gonna knock down that person's research. I've seen that, too. And it seems like that's the breakdown right there. That's the problem right there. And it obviously is what broke down the init group, too, is things of that sort, human nature.
Absolutely. They want to, rather than try to find ways to rise to the level of someone else, it's easier to tear down other people to their level or something.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think that happens not only in ghost hunting. I know for a fact it happens in remote viewing.
Oh, yeah.
It evidently happens in ITC as well. But it also happens in hard science and medical fields. So it happens in any time you pull a group of people together, even though you have a common goal.
Well,
right.
we have a man like Dr. Robert Schott come on our show last summer, who scientifically explains, scientifically, hard numbers, hard data. This man is a master geologist. He has his doctorate in geology, okay? He's a hard scientist. He proves, hands down, by the numbers, that the Great Sphinx is older than 4,500 years old. It's at least 10,000 years old. He proves it with numbers. He takes it to a board, and they shoot him down. They say, we don't even want to hear you. We don't even want to talk to you. Right? That's right.
Because it is inconceivable that the Sphinx is older than 4,500 years old.
Because that
doesn't fit into their model, right?
Exactly. And it's like, look, I have the numbers. And we had the gentleman, Dr. Schock, who's a charming gentleman, a wonderful guy. I've admired him for so many years. He came out and said, all I wanted him to do was just listen to what I had to say. I just wanted him to hear what I had to say and acknowledge it, not go, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. You've lost your mind.
That's all right. If he sticks with it, I guess there's an old saying. Let's see if I can think of what it is. I can't think of it right now. I'm sorry. But anyway,
does it start out Confucius saying? Or
what? it might be something like that, yeah. But if he's patient, I mean, he'll eventually be recognized for his results, even if it's post-mortem, you know. Sometime, science will evolve to accept the truth of his comments.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, and that's just the whole idea of this thing. That's what we keep telling people week after week is like, listen to what people have to say. There's so many different groups out there, it seems. There's all these researchers out there, and it's so cool to see that. But it seems like the more research you have, the more cooks you throw into the kitchen, the more problems you're going to have. And it comes from human nature, like you said, Mark, I think. That's the crux of the issue. And
well, I think there is some good news, though.
What's that?
The good news is all the people who've contacted me personally about ITC, and remember, I'm a total novice. I've had the pleasure of talking to Mark Macy mm-hmm. now twice, but at the time only once. And several people have contacted me and said about this ITC stuff. What do you do? How do you do it? What's a beryllium diode or whatever? And I don't know what they are,
germanium
I make
diode.
Them up and I go on. Oh, germanium diode. And folks have asked me these questions, and I've answered them to the best of my ability. But at the same time, I think that the people who are interested in ITC, the people who are seeking me out, and I'm not an expert, but I, you know, I've studied it as much as I could on the web and talking to Mark, but the people seem very genuine in that they want to do some research into the topic. They want to at least, even if they get as many results as we got, which is none,
yeah.
At least they're researching. At least they're interested in the topic, and they seem genuinely interested. So what happens after that can be as crazy as it wants to be. It can be, you know, fighting in the streets. It can be journal article after journal article. It can be whatever it needs to be after that. But I think bringing people in and exposing folks to ITC, instrumental transcommunication,
mm-hmm.
This is an exciting topic for me, and it is, because I think it could be one of the next things, one of the next big things with a capital B and a capital T, one of the next big things
mm-hmm.
in the research that all of us are doing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think it's already been one of the big things, but it needs to become another big thing, and I think it's getting there because people are genuinely interested and genuinely doing experiments.
People are genuinely interested.
Exactly.
I mean, people are genuinely interested, but I think what the problem is like we were saying before earlier, is that, well, just like being a ghost hunter, Doug, how many times have we said this on the show? Look, if you want to go ghost hunting, you're not going to have demons jumping out of walls trying to eat your soul, okay? It's just not going to happen. It just don't work that way. And the same thing goes for ITC. And, Mark, I've heard you say this before. You're like, look, you're not going to have results probably the first couple times you try this stuff. You need to work at it. You need to practice. You need to get your mind set in the right frame of mind before you can come in. You can make contact of some sorts. The other issue there is, though, is that it's just that right there. It carries on with that, is that if people don't get immediate results with this, they just kind of, well, you know, I tried. I'm bored. I'm going away.
And so you weed out the hobbyists.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Weed out the people who aren't good at it, or weed out the people who are on the lower vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's people who can really, really work at it, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and really get good at it. That's why we do the remote viewing experiments that we do on the show with Trinity Science. We do it because there may be people who are good at it. There may be people who already are in tune or in line or have a high enough vibration, like the couple in Europe, who could get that next message, get the message that may be the Rosetta Stone of ITC. I don't know, but I'd like the opportunity for the world to have that information.
Completely.
You know, there are two ways to kind of look at this. I think there's the big picture, and then there's an intimate personal picture. The big picture is that the more people who become genuinely interested in this, as you say, the more they open up the vibration or the field or whatever, the more field they create that allows the other side to begin to make this happen on a more regular basis here in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the more information spreads, the more interest there is, the more this is going to happen. That's the big picture. And the small picture is certainly there are certain psycho-spiritual qualities that an individual is born with, we're told. And that would be like a focused will. A person can focus on something and penetrate the veil like a lance, is the way they described it from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just born with that very powerful focus. And when you have that, it makes it a lot more a lot easier for the other side to contact you in this way.
You mentioned,
on the other hand, just about anybody with persistence can get EVP contacts, which can be very moving to them. You know, some people might take a couple hours, some people might take a couple of years, but eventually, and just about anybody, I think anybody can get EVP contacts as long as they stick with it.
It took us a couple of years.
Yeah.
It took us a couple of years. We finally have something that we're like, wow, that's really cool. You know,
it took us a couple of years and our friend in Indiana.
Yeah. We couldn't even get it with our own recorders, Mark. That's how bad we are. We didn't. All right.
Well, same thing with my photos. I try to be bad at photographing mist. You know, ectoplasmic mist. I'm just bad at it. Mm. Got in the canal. But Will, to my young camera, Will, GT, who's sitting there running the... He tried camera. He photos, mist everywhere. Mist to ectoplasmic mist everywhere. I can get it, you know. The people, and I want people to investigate this particular topic, interests me, excites me, and the more... And hey, there's going to be afterwards. There's going to be people fighting in the aisles and... You know, running around screaming, and that's mine. No, that's mine. You know, what a fighting can happen. Don't care about the data and the research. And I want to see the research data happen. And I think that that's the only way we're going to get advanced in all of the fields that we've taught out.
Yeah,
I think what you're doing, the thing that we're supposed to be doing right now is getting the open to the abilities of ITC, the promise, the research of the world. You know, and just by spreading the word, that does so much for opening the contact field. Now, from my own personal experience, I remember when I went to Europe, that's the first experience I had with ITC. I sat in a room and we got a computer contact from Henry St. Clair DeVille, a 19th century chemist. And we got a radio contact, and I thought, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back to the States and I set up a research group. We met every week for a couple of years and we never got a single contact. You know, it was so totally disheartening and frustrating. You know, you put in all this time. But over that time, I found out that I'd been building this spirit group around me. They'd been with us all the time trying to come through. Very difficult conditions for them to come through. But then that group broke down, and I began to experiment at home. I spent 45 minutes every morning. I'd wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning and work with a tape recorder and a radio. And I would just work every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was putting in 45 minutes to 2 hours sometimes, just recording and playing it back meticulously, listening to everything. And eventually I started getting these amazing EVP contacts, and then I began to get the ITC contacts because those came because I was affiliated with these folks in Europe who were already part of this group working with the ethereal beings who were making all these miracles happen. And my connection with that group in Europe is what I think allowed the ITC contacts to happen. But I know that the dedication I had working with this group that never panned out anything, and then working on my own research, just the experiments in the early morning hours, it gradually builds up this powerful contact field around you, and your spirit group works closely with you, and eventually you start getting contact. So it just takes time, basically.
What is the...
Well, one of the things that you have is, this must have made you extremely proud. Scott L., do you have audio file number 2?
Yes, we have audio file number 2.
This is like something that... is that the one where it actually addresses Mark?
Let me double check this one. Yes, I believe so. That's going to be number 2. Yeah.
I'd love it if you could play that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Can we play that, Mark?
Sure, of course.
Because I think this puts an exclamation point on everything we've just talked about, because this specifically addresses you. So we know for a fact, and here's the thing, there's going to be people out there who are skeptical, there's going to be all these different things, right? If an ITC message specifically addresses you, you know it wasn't, like WJLB, you know, coming through, or, you know, it was specifically talking to you. This is as genuine as I think anybody can ever get, and I'd love to hear that. This would just be an exclamation point on everything we've just said.
Go ahead, Will.
Two.
Two. Now, that I can imagine how much hell people are going through right now in radio land trying to hear that.
let me read the transcript. Can I read the transcript?
Yeah, I was going to do it. Go ahead, though, Doug. That's cool. Go ahead.
Okay. What that voice said, and you can listen to it over and over, you know, rewind your iPods or
whatever. Well, no, what you can do, even better, Doug, you know what people can do is go to worlditc.org and download this file directly and listen to it with their headphones on or whatever, you know.
It's audio file number 2, and here's the transcript.
Go ahead.
Finally, last but not least, Mark Macy. My dear friend, we bring our greeting to colleague Meek and the Uphoffs, also to Hans Heckman, with whom he realizes a beautiful job to spread ITC information. You know by experience, Mark, how dangerous drugs of all kinds can be. Try to warn humanity that they not only alter their present lives on your side, but also influence in a negative way their future lives. Go on with your experiences, and you will see that the bridge to the States will soon be strengthened. Regina, as your twin soul, can help you a lot. Listen to her inner voice, and you will be in the right way.
And then you said, thank you, Mark.
Yes.
Tell us about that. What were you thinking after you got that message? That's not an EVP.
One thing I thought, that's sure going to give my wife, Regina, a lot of power in the marriage.
Don't let her hear that piece of audio. No, it'll be over.
No, I was blown away by that whole contact. It was just amazing. I actually didn't hear it. I couldn't make it out at the time. It was very obscure. I had to listen to it. We had to take it apart for about a half hour, just dissect everything and finally figure out what it said. But once I did, I was just moved and amazed. I think I shed a few tears. It was just really amazing to me. Nobody knew about the drug stuff I'd been dealing with in my earlier life, so that was that had to be a legitimate contact. Nobody could have faked that. I mean, only someone on the other side could have known that.
Well, this is one thing I wanted to ask you as we were reading it. Well, Doug was reading the transcript. I was listening to the audio. Constantine does say this. He says, Mark, you know by experience, Mark, how dangerous drugs of all kinds can be. And I'm wondering what, I'm just trying to like get myself in the clear, more or less. I'm just curious, does that count for caffeine and nicotine?
To some degree, I think it might. But for me, it was a lot of alcohol. I was buying gin and scotch by the half gallon. You know, I was drinking a lot.
Oh, wow.
I was smoking 3 packs a day of nicotine. And when I got cancer, I couldn't take that stuff anymore. My body was hypersensitive. I'd go into convulsions if I even had a cup of tea with caffeine in it, you know.
Oh, my God.
So, not convulsions literally, but I tightened up. It was terrible. But then I became very fond of the painkillers that they gave me in the hospital, Percocet.
Yeah.
So, I've always been kind of an addictive personality, so I've had to really deal with that later in my life. But if you don't deal with it, I think, well, you've heard of ghosts, people who do chase ghosts. They talk about a loved one will come, they can smell the pipe tobacco or the cigarette smoke in the room, you know, that they remember when this person was still alive.
Yeah.
So we do, sometimes when we get close to the earth, when we're on the other side, we do carry a lot of the patterns with us. And some of the most deeply etched patterns we have are those that are kind of addictive, the ones that they're very hard to break because they create chemical dependencies in our system.
It makes perfect sense. Is that more at a mental level? What is that sound we have now? I think that's Doug. Is that more at a mental level, or is that also at a physical level, though, too? I mean, you carry these patterns. It sounds like you're just carrying these mental, you know, these ideas you have with you. I asked a guest we had a long time ago. I can't remember who it was exactly, but it was something I thought of. Somebody mentioned it to me. It was that, for example, if you get your body tattooed, for example, do you carry that with your ethereal body, with your soul, so to say, the word soul, do you carry that with you into the afterlife also? Like when you mark yourself, when you scar yourself like that, do you take that with you also when you pass on?
That's a good question. I think what the other side is like is there are many vibratory levels, and as we ascend in vibration to finer levels, we become the prime of life. All the imperfections leave, the baldness, the bad teeth, whatever we happen to have.
Yeah.
Tattoos will be gone and all that kind of stuff. We'll be in the prime of a perfect human body, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But as we descend in vibration, then to get closer to the Earth, to work with people on Earth, we go into these denser spirit levels, and then some of these patterns come back. We might show ourselves in old age. We might feel the compulsions we had toward alcohol or drugs or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe it, except it's like a spiritual morphing.
Mm-hmm.
You leap from the physical, you ascend into finer vibrations toward the soul level. Or the
that's based on the idea, and this is something I've read over and over again that you wrote, actually, Mark, and that's your spirit world's roadmap you talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That idea, you talk about the five levels. And correct me if I'm wrong, you start, obviously, the level we're at right now is the dense physical plane where we're at. Vibrations are very slow. It's very slow moving. Everything's very dense. Everything's very heavy. And then you ascend to what you call the quantum level, if I'm correct. That's the quantum level. Am I correct?
That's what I've been calling it, right.
And then that it's a lighter plane. It's from what you described, it's more of a scholarly plane. It's where a lot of people go to learn before they move on. They learn about themselves and the things around them and what the truth really is, so to say. And then they would ascend to, the astral plane. The astral plane where it's even less dense. It's lighter. The vibrations are faster. And from what you've said, that is paradise, from what I've gathered. That you say that is paradise in
right.
some ways. That's where the majority of people make it to, and they stay there because they're happier or something like that, I guess.
They stay for a long time sometimes, yeah.
And then you move on to what you call the ethereal plane, which is pure energy, from what I understand. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's pure consciousness. You move beyond form and structure into pure consciousness.
Yeah, you're as far as like the density, it's all gone. You're in the ethereal plane, and it's pure energy. Then it's all you have. And I don't know, from what I understand, not too many people can make it to the actual source, what you'd refer to as. I mean, I hate to throw the word out, but the word God, that's what the source is, so to say. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's the model we use, and it's been used for thousands of years in a lot of esoteric schools. But basically, the source is this. Source of perfect light, non-vibrating light, and as it moves out, it vibrates slower and slower as it moves out in vibration, and it forms all the different worlds, and we're out near the fringes here in the physical plane.
Yeah.
And you can move, but actually we have all of those worlds within us, too. It's kind of a holographic situation. We have a soul, which is a piece of the source, so we are that. At the same time that we're this human being,
mm-hmm.
we have the various spirit bodies within us too. So we're basically a multi-level being, but 99.999% of that is shut off to us as we're totally absorbed in the conscious world with our physical brain.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of us, the spiritual part of us, is hidden below the consciousness. It's the subconscious or the conscience or the soul or the spirit, whatever you want to call it. And there's always this battle throughout our lives between the conscious mind, which wants us to find creature comforts here on Earth, to enjoy the temptations, all the wonderful things we have on this planet, but those things also lower our vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other part of this battle is from our conscience, or our subconscious mind, which wants us to raise our vibration during this lifetime so that we can ascend to a finer level after we die.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always this back and forth dialogue between our conscious mind and our subconscious, which we don't even know is going on. But until we begin to tune into our higher self through meditation and that kind of thing. But
Well, the one thing you taught me concerning these levels of the soul, the spirit world's roadmap, is that we've all heard about these, you know, I've seen them on TV 1,000 times, and that's these people that have a near-death experience. And the majority of them all concur that they have passed on. They sometimes have looked down on themselves laying on the table or wherever they may be and said, whoa, heavy, I'm dead, okay? And then they turned around, and there was a tunnel with light at the end of it, okay? And that's usually a lot of times where the story ends. They come back to life. They're, you know, they've rejuvenated. They're doing something else now, whatever. But what you taught me, what the idea of that is, that that tunnel actually is a shortcut over the quantum plane, which is the plane, the next plane from the physical plane, from what, you know, I've read from your work. Some people have achieved that goal, like you just said a few minutes ago, in your present life, in our physical life, and they've been able to raise their vibration. Therefore, they don't really need to go to the quantum plane. They've learned enough to move on to the astral plane.
Right, and some people even move directly to the ethereal realm, like some of these mystics in India who've spent decades just meditating, you know, and they've lived mostly on the other side anyway, and so I think some of those folks move fairly quickly beyond even the astral realm into this pure consciousness.
I would have to say, like, Mother Teresa, probably.
Well, there you are, Doug. I thought we lost you, man.
No, I'm here. Okay. I'm listening.
Okay, I thought we lost you. I heard a pfft on the phone, and I thought you went away.
No. No, but I would think that Mother Teresa probably just sidestepped and went, bing, almost straight to the source, because she was just that amazing and that good and that much of a what people should aspire to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just the idea, and I find it fascinating. I can't tell you, Mark, how many people I've explained the spirit world's roadmap to, honestly. I've talked to just dozens and dozens of people in conversation going, okay, this is kind of how it works, man, you know? And that explains a lot of the things like hauntings of some sorts, where there's some people that are so attached to living, they don't understand that they're dead now. They're a different form. They're not a physical form anymore, and therefore we may see them again in our physical planes. They're bleeding over into the physical plane. It explains so much, and it's such a fascinating idea. One more thing I want to throw at you too, because I want to get some more audio in here that we have, some other contacts too, Mark.
Okay.
I have to tell you this. This is how much of an inspiration you've been to Ghostly Talk and myself personally. Since I'm kind of a retired musician now, I've been kind of just knocking ideas around in my little brain here as far as, you know, creativity and writing music. And I actually have written a whole series of, like, I don't know what you'd call it, poetry. I hate that word, but poetry or lyrics of some sort that are based around your writings on the spirit world's roadmap. I kind of wrote a story, kind of like, I guess you'd call it, kind of like another Paradise Lost sort of, you know, where it talks about all of these different planes, and there are different chapters. So I figured I'll send those over to you if you'd like to read them. You might get a kick out of it, but I figured I just want to let you know about that, how cool we think you are.
I'd love to see it. Well, thank you that you don't know how much that means to me, and I really appreciate it, and I definitely would like to see those. So yes, by all means, send them.
Yeah, I've spent hours just sitting down trying to figure, just trying to really dig into the work you talked about on the Spirit World's Roadmap. And I really tried to, I wanted to transfer it. My vision someday when I get off my butt and start working on music again is to write a whole thing based on that whole idea. I think it's just such an amazing, amazing idea you put on the paper for people to read. And you can view that, Mark Macy's work, at worldITC.org. Tons of stuff to read. You know, we have a couple more pieces of audio here. Can we play them, Mark? Would you want to hear them? Or,
great.
You've heard them a thousand times. What am I talking about? The third one on the list. Oh, you still there, Mark?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd be happy to hear them, sure.
Okay, cool. Right, we're getting bleed or something like that.
You know, I hear it too, but I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's Constantine. I don't
know.
We've had weirder stuff.
Expect a phone call after the show, you mean?
Well, yeah, you know, we played that other piece of audio a couple minutes ago from Constantine. And like I said, you can download that. I'm sure it might not come through too well in radio land out there. But you can download it at World ITC if you want to listen to it in really, you know, real deep depth with your headphones on and stuff like that. There's another piece here. Why don't you just play the third file there? We have them going through the headphones, so that's cool. Go ahead and play that, Will, and we'll talk about it a little bit after, Mark, if that's cool.
That'd be great.
Okay, go ahead, Will. Now let's play it one more time. That's a shorter one, and that was the first.
I can't hear it.
You're not going to be. It's very low.
Work,
go ahead.
It says it can only work when the vibrations are of those present are in complete harmony and when their aims and intentions are pure.
Yeah, exactly. Play it one more time, Will. Got a little feedback there, too.
Yeah, thanks. Go
ahead.
The way that happened is Maggie Horst Fishback was, we were all sitting in her living room, I guess. There were five of us, and the radios were just emitting this white noise into the room. And then we heard this shift in the white noise a little bit. And so Maggie hurried over to the radios and picked up the microphone, and that the whining you heard was when the microphone got into the radio.
Yeah,
it kind of got the feedback, you know.
Yeah, so you hear the bump too. Somebody's like grabbing the microphone, trying to get over there and put it in there.
Exactly.
But you can hear it. You hear him. He says again, it can only work when the vibrations of those present are in complete harmony and when their aims and intentions are pure, which is basically what we've been talking about all night. It's a real capper, you know. It's a total capper. Jeez. There's another gentleman there was contact with also named Kieserling or Kaiserling. How do I pronounce it?
Kaiserling.
Kaiserling. Go ahead, Bob.
He's the one I was talking about, Fritz Malkoff, my friend in Germany. Sometimes our spirit friends aren't able to manufacture a voice that sounds very natural to us. Sometimes their techniques or technologies don't work very well. And what I guess you're going to play next is one of those results.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's number five. Yeah, we're going to play five. Go ahead, Will.
Oh, does it say so?
That sounds like an alien, Mark.
It does. Yeah, that one was pretty weird when I heard it. Took me a while to figure out that that's what the problem was. The other side just hadn't mastered. His spirit group was named Cloverleaf, or Trefoil, I guess,
mm-hmm.
in French. But the different spirit groups, I guess, have different levels of techniques and technologies they use, and that particular one hadn't mastered the telephone voice very well, I guess. Didn't sound too natural to us.
Yeah, it sounds really high-pitched. It sounds almost, and that's supposed to be a male talking, am I correct?
There was, yes. It's Wilhelm Kaiserling.
It sounds more, you know, more female, actually. It sounds like a little girl kind of talking when it's coming through. But, I mean, there's somebody trying to phrase words. Were you guys able to actually get, like, a dialogue of that one?
Yeah, it's in German. I don't know what it is right now.
Oh, it's in German. Okay, yeah. I don't think that would help anyway, so don't worry. Even if you knew it, I don't think people would really. There's probably a handful of people be like, oh, yeah, that person said you're a really cool guy, Mark Macy, and I really want to hang out with you. That's what they said in German. There's like four or five
people.
You
can tell us that. We'd believe it.
Yeah, that's cool. Number three on the list. Why don't you go ahead and play that one, Will? I think my numbering got messed up on this thing, but go ahead and play number three, and we'll talk about that one, too. Okay, number four, then. Number four.
It's a long one.
Is it a long one?
Yeah.
Go ahead and play it.
Okay.
As far as ITC progress here in Colorado with my group, how soon do you think we'll be able to expand into television contacts and computer contacts, or are we going to stick with voice for quite a while?
Well, as we see it, the first good voices will come through in the fall this year. And it will develop on that.
I see. I'm thinking of incorporating subtle energy technologies into the system on my side. Do these things sound like a good idea?
Sure, very good thought of you. You will have to wait for the things that our group can tell you.
Okay. Can you tell me about the equipment that you use to produce such a perfect, almost perfect voice on Earth? I mean, that must take a lot of work on your side.
Well, it depends on your reception. time to give plans about to send them through. And we also wanted to give a sort of a map of our world, also transmitted to your world. Will be done in the next weeks or months.
That's tremendous. That's wonderful.
Now that was the phone conversation, right, Mark?
That's right. I was talking to Konstantin Rodaev on the phone.
How the heck did you do that?
Well,
man,
did he call you or did you call him? Who paid?
It's always him? Yeah. That's their motto. We don't call us. We'll call you. We don't. We've never been able to contact them. It's always them making the contact here on Earth. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have it in my notes for some reason. I got omitted, but I know that was the phone conversation. Again, Konstantin has that real low, gurgly voice again. You can and you have to listen close to really get the phrasing, but he's there talking to you, and you guys had a conversation.
Yeah, it lasted about 15 minutes altogether.
Oh, my God, and that just, see, that's what I think right there, Mark, is what's going to scare people a little bit. Because, I mean, this idea I have in my head, I've always thought, is that the fear of the unknown is because people equate the unknown to death. And people are scared of death. I mean, they're really scared of death. I mean, I can't say that I'm not really afraid of it myself. I don't look forward to it, to be quite honest. I have a good life. I have a happy life here. But people equate this idea of the unknown, which this is about as unknown as you can get right here, I think, to this idea of death, which, I mean, it is around this. I mean, we're talking about a person who has been deceased. They've passed on. But he is coming back to talk, well, to you directly. And it's a phenomenal, it's an amazing idea. I believe we have one more file on there, don't we, Will?
Well, wait a minute, wait.
Yeah,
I have something I want to say.
Yeah,
you talked in that last one about subtle energy.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Oh, man, go ahead, Doug. Sorry.
And there happens to be one person that I know of who is really, really working with subtle energy. He's working with subtle energy.
Yeah, well, what we need to do, Doug, is we actually need to, like, book a flight somewhere and have these two gentlemen, Mr. Mark Macy and the gentleman you're talking about, sit down and watch our heads explode, I think. Because go ahead, Doug.
No, no, no. I want you to tell everybody about the beryllium crystal subtle energy transducer.
Well, no, Mark. You know, we have a lot of friends here, thankfully, on Ghostly Talk. And one of our dearest friends is a man named Marcus Leader, who helps us book guests, does work on the show. He's one of our dear friends to the show, real close friend. And he actually a few months ago said, I have something very special coming in the mail for you. I want you to check it out. So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, so we get this big box, and I open it up, and there's an instruction thing, and it's called, he calls it the Beryllium Crystal Subtle Energy Transducer. Now, at the time, I'm like, that means nothing to me. What is that? What is this thing, right? But you mentioned subtle energies. What do they have to do with ITC? How do they come into play?
Well, what I asked Konstantin was if I was starting to incorporate various subtle energy technologies into the work I was doing, and I asked if that was a good idea. He said, you'll have to wait till the things we can tell you. So I was experimenting with different subtle energies, including crystals and different things. But they said basically, wait until we tell you how to configure various technologies and whatever.
Well, no, I'm going to... go ahead, Doug.
Well, Marcus Leader is a shaman, and he even does a segment of a show called The Shaman's Apprentice.
Shaman's Brew. Shaman's Brew.
The Shaman's Brew, yeah. Mm-hmm. And thank you. And I wonder if he hasn't received information on how to configure some of these subtle energies, because some of the work he's doing, he by the way, is founder of Leader Research in Iowa, mm-hmm. I believe, and he's building these things. I mean, and most of the things that he builds are one of a kind.
Well, he has two versions of the beryllium crystal subtle energy transducer. He has one for himself, and he for some wild reason he gave us one. I don't know why, but he gave us one. What I'd like to do, actually, Mark and Marcus, that's gonna be fun to try to differentiate those two. Is I'd like to have you both come on the show someday. You and Marcus Leader, if you'd like to, Mark, and have a discussion, because I think the both of you guys would really be able to hit off some amazing ideas together. Would you be interested in doing that?
Sure, that'd be fun. Yeah, I'd like that.
Because, go ahead, Mark.
How do you spell Leader? Is it L-E-D-E-R or L-E-A-D-E-R?
L-E-A-D-E-R. I'm going to put you in contact with him, actually.
Okay.
I'm going to put you in contact with him. I'll take care of that. So I think you guys could really – I thought about it in high level, actually. But I never really thought too much into it, and now that we're doing this show and we're talking about all this stuff, I'm like, God, to put these two guys together in the same room, I mean, miracles would happen right there in a spot.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in that room.
Yeah. it's such an amazing thing, you know? Go ahead, Doug.
Because I really think that's yet another line that's been drawn this show that's very interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we should do that. I mean, if you're cool with that, Mark, we're going to contact Marcus Leader. He's probably listening right now going, oh, God, what are these guys going to get me into now? Wonderful. I can't, oh, boy. But I think you guys could really hit some ideas off, and I think to discuss it live here would be really cool, too. There's one more audio file on there, isn't there, Will?
Yes.
While we go, this is with, if I'm correct, Mark, this is Maggie Harsh. Thank you. I would have slaughtered that thing, man. No way. This is the one with her. It's a female speaking. Why don't we just play it, and we'll talk about it a little bit afterwards.
Okay.
In the course of bygone decades of thousands of earthly years, beings interested in human species meet to decide on the continuation of the project.
A very beautiful voice, I have to say, Mark.
Yeah, that was received on actually the telephone answering device of Maggie in Luxembourg, and that's an ethereal being. It's one of seven who say they've accompanied our world for tens of thousands of years and kind of monitored the development of humanity, and they're the ones who made all this happen. So this is a perfect way to end the show, because these are the guys who really have made things happen throughout our history. In the course of researching my current book, that I'm certain that these are the same seven archangels who were in biblical times,
mm-hmm.
and also various advanced cultures of the time developed certain gods, and I think those were patterned after these seven beings and possibly other ethereal beings too. But I think beings like this have played a very important part down through history, and they're the ones who have kind of ushered in the ITC, or they're on the verge of ushering in the ITC to our world as soon as we're ready as a species to accept it into our world with the right mode of thinking and feeling about things.
Completely. And the thing is that people out there listening, you have to keep in mind, too, what we're talking about, and this is what really smacked me in the head, Mark, was the idea that there are teams on the other side of the veil working on stuff like we're working on, like Mark's working on. They're working just as hard to try to make contact also. There are spirit teams doing this, and that's the thing that really grabs me, Mark, is that idea that they want to make contact just as bad as we want to make contact with them.
Absolutely. That's true. And they're just waiting for the conditions to become right here on Earth. And we have the technologies in place pretty much. We could use some more subtle energy technologies, but the main thing we need in place is the mind, the human mind, our thoughts and our attitudes, kind of polish up our way of thinking, I guess.
Completely. And I think by putting you and Marcus Leader on the same phone line, I think we might save the world, man. I think we might just save the world.
We better do that then.
We better get on that pretty quick, huh? Special show this week, man. When do you think, Doug? Wednesday. Let's do it as quick as possible.
as soon as Marcus is available, and Marcus and Mark are available.
It would be
a fascinating conversation.
Absolutely. We're at the top of the hour, unfortunately, guys. I am so bummed out, too. Remember when we said, like, years ago, Doug, we should go from 1 hour to 2 hours because we can get a lot more done that way?
Right.
And then we said, let's go from 2 hours to 3 hours because we can get a lot more done that way.
Right.
I think we have to go to 4 hours now because I'm feeling so bummed we have to get off the air now, man. We need to thank Marcus Leader for coming on the show. Mark
That's
Macy. Oh, my God. See what you... This is what you do to me, Mark. I can't think no more.
I'm done.
Every time. We need to thank Mark Macy for coming on the show. Mark, thank you so much. You always just open our minds up, and you melt us down first. Then you open our minds up.
Well, Scott and Doug, it's been a real pleasure, and thanks, Will, for all the technical help. That was great.
Yes, thank you. We need to thank John Statler. We need to thank all of you guys out there listening. We need to thank all of our new affiliates, all the people. I can't read them off because we're out of time. Oh, my God. We need to thank
all of the affiliates that have been carrying us for a while. Thanks to
all of our buddies. Thank you all for listening to the show. We hope you enjoy it. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we're out of here. Have a good week, guys. Bye-bye.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
To listen to now.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.